All right, our reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 20, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers, for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Amen. Now I want you to take your device or your Bible, and I want you to put it down. You ain't looking at nobody square in the eye. You ain't holding no neighbor by the hand. You ain't doing none of that. All you're going to do is stand with your hands out, looking up to the sky, and you're going to say, "Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For being
generous.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For being
generous.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We have entitled our message this morning, "Thank You, Lord, for being generous." You know, Reverend Rose, there's something we have to deal with, and there's something that we see within our society. There are always folk who are focusing on what you have and wondering how you got it. And some folk, if you allow them, they'll be all up in your pocket trying to figure out how everything is making sense for you. You know, and then there's other folk who are going to be doing all that and try to keep up with you. But you're going to make Deacon Jones mad at you back there. You're going to make Deacon Jones mad at you back there. He said, "Can't nobody keep up with Deacon Jones?" But we're coming back. Amen. But the reality is that this is how things work in society.
Amen.
Everybody's trying to see what you got and figure out how they can get it or whatever the case might be. You go to social media, you'll see some folk put their bling bling out there or what they got and how they doing this and so on and so forth and how they down in the Caribbean on a 9-day cruise. And somebody said, "Glad, I'm glad you told me. Now they got 9 days to go rob your house." So remember, don't put nothing out there like that until you get back. Oh, hallelujah. Too many folk got robbed that way. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. I'm sorry, I sidetracked. Let me come back. But what I'm saying is that within society, this is how folk function. But they can move when it comes to church. We ought not to be trying to focus on what other folk got or trying to see what's in other folks' pocket. We are here because we are thankful for what the Lord has done for us. I ain't trying to be all up in what you got and figuring all out. I'm just thankful for what God has blessed me with. Because if the Lord hadn't blessed me with it, I don't know where I would be. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands that I ain't trying to get up in your pocket? I ain't trying to figure out what you got. I'm just praising God for what I got. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
I know you're blessed.
I know you're blessed.
So am I."
So am I.
All right, let's go on. Now that we're getting it to understand, folk in church have to learn that it's not about us being envious about anything that anybody else got. But I want you to know there's a truth in what Jesus has in this parable. The truth is, you will find a church being divided when folk start categorizing folk in the church. When you put a certain folk over here and keep a certain folk over there, you've already begun to divide your church. And you have to understand that Jesus did not come to divide us. Jesus came to bring us together because we are supposed to be one body in Christ. Which means is that when you start segregating people because of the fact that they got all this and them folk ain't got too much, so we don't want them hanging with us, you just made a big mistake. Because if the body is divided, I want you to know where it's going. Nowhere. And what happens? There's nothing but infighting. There's nothing but negativity. If these folk over here didn't do it, they ain't going to praise God for how them folk over there did it. Because of the fact that if we're divided, I can't ever give you no props. And if you look at what's going on up in Washington, D.C., we see folk are up there divided, agreeing with stuff just because they are a part of a party. But what I want you to understand, wrong is wrong, and it's wrong all day long. I don't care how many folk agree with it. It still don't make it right. But let's move on. Let's move on. I ain't going there, but let's just move on. We have to understand it's not about division. It's about unity. You see, my brothers and sisters, God wants us to be a people who are united for the purpose of glorifying God. But when you look at what Jesus is about to show us, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
I'm not like you.
You ain't like me.
But God loves you.
And God loves me." Can you work with me for a few minutes? Because I want y'all to know we about to dig all up in here. Bible study class, I want you to know it ain't going to be nothing like we talked about. But I want you to know it's still the same message. But I want us to see something. Because as we look here at Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse number 1. I want you to know that this one statement helps us understand everything else that follows. Because it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard."
All right. Come on with it.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Are you ready to work?
Are you ready to work?
Because when you look at this particular scripture, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who goes out to the marketplace early in the morning to hire folk or to be laborers in his vineyard. Now, think about this. The landowner went out there, Reverend Rhodes, early in the morning. You see, because the day started at 6 a.m. the sun rose, and at 6 p.m. the sun set.
Right.
So that's called 12 hours. He was going to get folk who were going to start work at 6 a.m. when the sun rose and would work until the sun set. And when he went to the marketplace, he got these individuals, right? And before sunset, before sunrise, he talked with them, Brother Phil. They agreed on what they were to be paid.
Right.
So there would not be any kind of confusion, because we serve a God who does things decently and in. I want you to know the Lord ain't going to ever say you didn't read the fine print. Whenever God gives you something, it is right there where you can see. And if you can't see it, then you need to go on and get you some $500 glasses. Ain't that right, Deacon Jones?
Amen.
See, I told y'all it's hard to keep up with them Joneses. But as we're seeing this, what we have to see and understand is that it had already been agreed upon what the amount they were going to get paid.
Amen.
Right? And then once he went and they started working at 6 a.m., now, this is what I don't understand, Brother Drummer, because I just forgot your name. Is that if he went and got folk at 6, why didn't he just hire everybody at 6 o'clock? But he went back again at 9. You see, because this landowner must have a large harvest. See, the harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are, somebody working with me. So, but when he went out at 6, before 6 a.m., he got everybody who was out there idle and ready to work. That's like folk who were raised in the church, never left the church, gave their lives to Christ before they were a teenager, which means that in their preteens, they gave their lives to Christ. But what happened was, it tells us, see, he went back at 9, noon, 3, and 5. He first got them at 6 a.m., preteens. He got them at 9 a.m., teenagers. He got them at noon, young adults. He got them at 3, adults. He got them at 5, seasoned saints. Y'all gonna work with me now? Callan, you working with me? Because Callan, what I want us to see and understand is this. What we have to realize is that everybody wasn't ready at 6 a.m. Are you working with me? Everybody wasn't ready to be laborers at 6 a.m. So that's why he went back at 9. And when he went back at 9, noon, 3, and 5, right?
Yes, sir.
It tells us something, that there's a word in here we got to catch. Well, look at verse number 3 with me. He says, when he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing what? Right? And then he went back again at noon and at 3, and he got those folk that were. And then, just so that we don't get it twisted, look at verse number 6. At about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why are you standing here? All day. What is this saying? Not quite all their life, because they still got life. We're going to get to that in a minute. What we're seeing is that The Lord wants us
to work,
to come. But here lies the issue. If we are in the marketplace, which is speaking metaphorically about the world, if we are in the world running around letting sin kick our butts and doing all the stuff that we big and bad enough to do, it creates a whole lot of noise. And with all that noise, you ain't being still. You running around still chasing that sin. And as long as you're running around hearing all that noise, you're not going to have a time to hear when the Lord wants to speak to you. It's when you realize, I had enough of this life. I need to make some changes. There are some things that are happening that I'm not pleased with. And when you make a decision to reposition yourself and say, Lord, I'm tired of all the noise, then that's when you become idle. Because you now have repositioned yourself where you're not moving around. You're not listening to all the noise. You are now idle. So now when you are idle, you can hear God's small, still voice. Some heard it when they were preteens. Others heard it when they were teenagers. Others heard it as young adults. Others heard it as adults. Others, it took them almost all day before they made a decision to reposition themselves so that they could be still and know God is calling you. And I want us all to understand, you ain't got to be mad because God ain't called you till you was 30. You can't, you all not be mad if God ain't called you till you was 40 or 50 or whatever. Because guess what? It doesn't matter when he called you. But I'm so glad that he did call me and I was able to hear him. And that's why we as the people of God ought to be up in God's house rejoicing. Because guess what? The Lord thought enough about me that he kept coming back to check to see if I was ready to come on in. And when I was ready to come on in, guess what he did? I want you to know, Ms. Chavis, he invited me in. And when he invited me in, I came. I came because I made a decision to reposition myself, to get away from all that stuff that was beating me down and say, Lord, now I am ready. And the way that I let God know that I'm ready is I become idle. You remember when all that shucking and jiving you used to do? Remember how you just couldn't wait till Friday night? And then what you couldn't finish on Friday night, you took care of it on Saturday night. You was too busy running and doing everything you thought you could do. Y'all was singing that Ron O'Neill song, Never on Monday, Sunday. Y'all know that song. I ain't going to start singing it up here. I ain't going to do that to you. We ain't going secular up in here. But I just had to just throw it out there so you knew what I was talking about. But what I'm saying to you, it's not until you reposition yourself and said enough is enough. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Can anybody relate to remember when you had your encounter with Jesus? You remember how your encounter with Jesus came when you found yourself stopped, standing, not going any direction, because you don't know what direction to go, because everywhere you went, it was the wrong way. So you had to put yourself in idle. And once you put yourself in idle, then you could hear the Lord. And when the Lord called you, you knew where to go.
Hallelujah!
Because he said, it's time for you to come on and work in the vineyard. You see, God is calling all of us up in here to be laborers. God ain't calling none of us to come in here and wipe our brow and just say, I'm so glad I ain't what I used to be. God ain't caring about what you used to be, because if he cared about what you used to be, he'd have left you doing what you used to do. God has called you to make a difference in your life. And if you truly want God to know, you appreciate what he has done. Are you being a worker for the Lord? Are you sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you walking by faith and not by sight? Are you giving him the glory, the honor, and the praise? Are you shouting and praising and giving God all of your praise when you come to church? Wherever you go, do you allow your light to shine so folk can know that there's a healer in the land? There's a deliverer in the land? There's a way maker in the land? And his name is? Are you willing to truly be an advertisement for the one who saw you when you was a nothing but made something out of you? Yeah. Are you willing to go on and be what God has called you to be if others still going to talk about you? Because don't you know who woke you up this morning? Who started you on your way? When you think about all that God has done, is doing, and will continue to do, and you mean to tell me you're going to sit here like it's not a big deal when I think about all that God has done for me? I can't help but give him the praise. I can't help but tell him thank you. I can't help but wave my hand. I can't help every now and then having a tear in my eye. I can't help, because I know I am where I am because the Lord said so. But let's get back, because we got to talk about how division can occur in the church. You see, let's go to verse number 8. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers and give them their pay. Beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them received the usual daily wage. Here we go. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. There lies the division. Some folks say, I've been in church my whole life. And you just gave your life to Christ 6 months ago and talking about you going to sing in the choir. You ready coming up in here doing all this shouting and praising and thanking God and walking around like you all out of a bag of chips, 2 sodas and a... But wait a minute, I've been here my whole life. You better sit down and be quiet. You better wait your turn. You are not where I am. You ain't going to get more notice than I am. You better be quiet.
All right. It ain't about you.
What we're seeing in this situation is those that came early in the morning. When they came early in the morning, Sister Barbara Ann, they were already told what they were going to be paid. And it tells us in Scripture, they agreed to the amount. And since they agreed to the amount, why would it all of a sudden begin to change? Because just think about it. While those who came at 5 went up to the table to get paid, And they saw that they had received a full wage. Those who were in line, they started work 6 in the morning. Deacon Jones, they were looking at their pocket and said, oh yeah, if they got a full daily wage, I know I can expect a whole lot more coming my way. Oh, I just can't wait till I get up to the front of that line, because I know I'm going, if they're getting paid a full wage for 1 hour, oh, that's 1 hour, and I didn't work 12 hours. Oh, that's a whole lot of money. Oh, I can't wait till I get up there, because I know I'm going to get paid quadruple time and so on and so on. I just can't wait. But when they got up there, what they got was a full day's wage. And they were grumbling with the landowner. You know, and what I find very similar here is that this is no different than the prodigal son situation. Because when the prodigal son had went and wasted all his stuff, his brother, who had never left home, looked at the party going on up in the house. He didn't go in the house, but called one of the servants to come outside and tell him what was going on. And when he found out that they were having a celebration because his brother, who once was lost, has now been found, don't you know that dude would not go in the house? You see, what is that telling us? Right there, we see a house that is divided, because there are some folk who think that they know better than God and don't think that God should bless you because of the fact that you stepped away, but because of the stuff that you've done, because of this and because of that, but they don't realize something until we see it right here in this verse. Check this out. Look at verse number 13, where it says, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Check this out. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? And because of that, what we're seeing is that Jesus is showing us division can exist. And since division can exist, it's because some folk don't think you ought to be blessed like them. Do you see this? And am I making this up, or did we just read that? They were so mad because of the fact that they didn't want them folk to be blessed like them. Why? Because they ain't worked as long as me. They ain't worked as hard as me. They weren't near as long as I was. So how can they be blessed like me? Well, I want you to understand something. Do you realize that the landowner kept going back to the marketplace? He kept going back. Why? Because he knows that there are folk that will be coming that have value.
Amen.
Value. And since we all have value, it is not our job to try to tell God who he can bless and how well he can bless folk. You know, I'm so thankful God don't bless me based on what you say. And I'm glad God don't bless you based on what I say. He's God all by himself. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. God doesn't need our permission to tell us, to tell him how he gonna bless somebody. And I'm thankful how he ain't asked somebody how I ought to be blessed. You see, what we're learning from this scenario is that God loves all of us. And how does God love us? Equally. There is no big eyes and little U's in God's house. It's a whole bunch of us. We are all in this And since we're all in this together, we ain't going to sit there and try to take tabs on who came first and who came later. I'm just excited that all of us are in here. And since we are all here, all of us need to be laborers for the kingdom of God. Because the Lord didn't bring us out the marketplace. The Lord didn't take us from idleness so that we could just come to church, clap our hand, and go home and say that's it. We are here to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise, not just in the building, but how we live our lives from one day to the next. And but you know what Jesus is saying? Because you got to catch this part. You see, the folk he paid first were those that came. Those that had lived lives that were more pleasing to the world. And what the Lord was letting them know, I'm glad that you finally got idle to come into the house. And those folk that he went to go get at 5 o'clock had their heads bowed down and say, you know, there's still light. So there's still opportunity. There's still life. So that means that there's what? Opportunity. And what is happening in these individuals is that they feel that their life is about to be completely sucked out of them without an opportunity coming to change. But the landowner came, grabbed them at 5 when it wasn't much life left. And then once all that's done, when the sun sets, you see, because the reality is we almost work while it is, because nighttime is coming when no one can work. So what in essence that is speaking metaphorically is that you only can work while you're still alive. Because once the Lord call you home, ain't no work for you to do here on earth. So the thing is, what you doing with what time you got left? And whatever time you got left, remember, it's 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30, who knows how much time you got left. But what are you doing with the time you have left? Are you being a laborer for the one who brought you up out of darkness and brought you into the marvelous light? Are you being a laborer for the one who saw you when you were a nothing but told you you're going to be something, and he came to get you at 5 o'clock, and now that it's time to get paid 1 hour later, don't you know they got paid in full? Could you imagine how them folk begin to shout? Can you imagine how them folk begin to praise God? Because they look over their lives and know how messed up they were. But it's not about how you start in your life, it's about how you end in your life. All of us start a life out of sin, but I want you to know we all need to end our lives with Jesus. And it don't matter how much time you end with Jesus, but just as long as you're in with Jesus, I want you to know that you're going to get everything God has, and you're going to get it in one full. So what am I telling you, my brothers and my sisters? You know, some of us came later in life, and that's how come whenever we come in church shouting and praising God. Why? Because we know that the world could have sucked us up, the world could have chewed us up, the world could have spit us out, the world could have sent us under, but through the grace and mercy of God, he kept me long enough, he got me in my right mind so that I could make the right decision. He pulled the wax out of my ear so I could hear him call me. And you mean to tell me I'm supposed to come to church and sit down and be quiet? The devil is a liar. I'm here to praise him. I'm here to thank him. He brought me a mighty long way, and he did it while it was late in my life. Do I got any folk who ain't ashamed in praising God? Because you know, where would you be if it had not been for Jesus? Somebody ought to thank him. Somebody ought to praise him. Somebody ought to put their head back and say, hallelujah. When we think about it, this is the peace we got to get. You know what the peace is this. Don't get caught up in when folk come. Get caught up in that they did come. And when they come, they got full rights, just like you. Y'all, there is no divide between y'all. There ain't us up here and y'all down there. It's all level ground by the cross. And the Lord loves you just like he loves them, and he loves us all equally. I want you to know that our God cares about the entire world. So when folk come, we ought to rejoice, no matter if they're coming on a crutch and barely able to move because of their age, or they come when they're 9, 10, or 11. It don't matter, but we ought to praise God and let them all know that they all will be paid in what? Full. Because God loves each and every one of them. So since God is telling us we're all going to get paid in, then why in the world are we acting like we better than other folk who are in the church? I want you to know God doesn't divide us. God sees us all as equals. Why? Because of the fact that the Lord has shown all of us grace and mercy. Don't you know that our God is generous with his grace and mercy? Isn't that why we're here? Because it's all because of God's word. And that's why, since we understand that God is generous with his grace and mercy, he's been generous to me, he's been generous to you. That's why we can all lift our hands up and say, Lord, thank you for being generous. When we think about what God has done, when we think about where God has brought us, when we think about what God is doing with us, I want you to understand, y'all, for us to transition from this place to this building that's going to be next door, we only going to get there when we have unity. It ain't going to happen by happenstance. It ain't going to happen because of luck or chuck. It's only going to happen when the people of God get all on the same page and move forward as one, because we understand that we all must have unity. It don't matter when folk came. It don't matter if you've been here when the first brick was put in. Whether or not you've been here after all the bricks have been put up. I want you to understand the same God that loves you loves me the same way. And we all going to get paid in. And since we all going to get paid in full, we have to move forward in what? You want to see how God's going to move in this place? You want to see how fast that building's going to go up? It's only going to happen when we're going to have what? Unity. So whatever issue you got with me, or whatever issue I got with you, we need to just wipe that stuff clean. And if you don't want to wipe it clean, then you don't want to go nowhere. Because it ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about God. And the only person that is observing all of us and knows all of us, it's God. The only one who knows my secret thoughts is God. The only one that knows your secret thoughts is God. So I want you to know, you can fool me, I can fool you, but ain't none of us fooling God. You see, so in order for us to say that we got unity, it's got to be more than just words that we say. It's got to be through our actions and how we treat each other, how we talk about one another, how we ought to be praying for one another, encouraging one another, because we're all in this. And if we're going to truly be in this all together, my brothers and my sisters, we cannot look at anybody or look down at anybody and say, I'm better than you, or you worse off than me. No, no. All of us have received God's generous blessings. His generosity all comes through God's grace and mercy. And all of us are going to get paid in. So it don't matter when you came, my brother. It don't matter when you came, my sister. But the Lord wants to know, are you ready to go to the vineyard and get to work? You see, the Lord's got work for you to do. Just like he's got work for me to do, he's got work for all of us to do. And I'm thankful that there are so many folk who are answering the call and saying, Lord, I'm here because of you. And since I'm here because of you, Lord, I'm ready to work. You see, in order for us to move forward, we have to have that unity. Because if you don't have that unity, as long as you're looking at folk and sucking your teeth, as long as you're talking about them under your breath, that's truly not unity. I'm just calling it like I see it. I want us to see the power of God move throughout this place. And the only way the power of God is going to move throughout this place is that I got to get past the stuff I got against you. You got to get past the stuff you got against me, so that we can truly move forward in so we can fool ourselves all we want. and all the work that the Expansion Project Ministry is doing. And I want you to know them folk are working hard. And they're about to do a whole lot more hard work. But guess what? It'll just be them working hard and nothing's going to come of it if we don't decide to come together in. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I want you to do something. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I love you. Might not like you sometime, but I'm going to love you all the time. So if we're going to move forward, I recognize I might not like you sometime. You might not like me sometime. But I'm going to have to love you. Are you working with me, y'all? And that's how we stop and keep division away from our church. Because we are going to be a church that's moving forward. The Lord's got mighty things he's going to do with Broad Rock. And I want you to know the enemy is going to try to stop us at every turn. But what we got to be about is our daddy's business. And remember that we're already paid in full. And since we paid in full, we ain't got time for the whatever. Because I love you, and you can't do a thing about it. Might not like you all the time, but I love you. And if you know what I'm talking about, try to break it down to you like this. You love your kids all the time. But there are some times you don't like their, oh, somebody working with me. How you understand what I'm talking about. You might love your brother, you might love your sister, but there are times they've done stuff you just don't. But did you ever stop loving him? No. But are you understanding what I'm saying? There's some real stuff in what I'm saying. Because some of y'all was looking like, oh, pastor trying to find a way. I ain't trying to find no way out. I'm telling you how it works. Yeah. I know my wife loves me and I love my wife. But there's sometimes I do stuff she don't. Come on, let's be real. You can sit here and lie to yourself. Why lie to yourself? I know she loves me and I love her. But I know that sometimes I do stuff she don't like. Paulette ought to say amen. It's the truth. Come on, y'all. Y'all want to go ahead and lie to ourselves? God's going to bless us when we real. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the only way we're going to be real is when we say, thank you, Lord, for being generous. Because we understand that the generosity that God has showed us, we were not deserving it. The generosity that God is still showing us, we still don't deserve it. But I want you to understand the reason why God is generous with us is because of the fact that all of us in here made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And Deacon Aldridge, when we made that decision, the blood of Jesus was poured all over us. And that blood has covered and washed away all our sins. So when the Father looks at us, he sees that we're spotless, not because of who we are, but because we made a decision to accept his Son as our Lord and as our Savior. And because of that, the Father continues to show us generosity by blessing us with grace and mercy. We might not be all that we ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be, but I'm pressing on each and every day to get a little bit better. Do I got anybody in here that's pressing on to get a little bit better? I understand I might fall short, but I'm pressing on to get a little bit better because I have been paid in full because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Somebody ought to thank him right now. I'm telling you, Lord, we thank him. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for being generous with your grace and your grace.